close isn't good enough. This is Geoff Parrish. During the reign of George Bush Sr., Democrats mounted a ferocious campaign to thwart the Supreme Court nomination of Clarence Thomas. Much of the opposition focused on Thomas's record as an employer and his alleged sexism, not on his radically conservative judicial views. Thomas was narrowly approved, and in the 17 years since, all that opposition during his confirmation hearings has mattered not at all. From the first, Thomas has gleefully run roughshod over the Constitution at every opportunity, and with no public accountability for Supreme Court justices, that is exactly what Thomas will likely continue to do for the rest of his life. Enter Samuel Alito. All this week, senators have had their only opportunity to question Alito on his controversial record as a judge and as an executive branch attorney. There's no question of Alito's experience and competence as a judge, nor are there any major Thomas-like blemishes on Alito's personal character. Now, most of the concern about Alito is ideological, and historically, very few nominees for the Supreme Court are rejected on ideological grounds. Moreover, Alito's ideology is one shared by many Republicans, and Republicans have a solid 55-44 majority in the Senate. Even if every Democrat agrees that Alito is bad news, and when was the last time Democrats agreed on anything, it will take 7 more Republicans to join with them to stop Alito's nomination. Showing their usual lack of backbone, Democrats are said to be reluctant to engage in a filibuster. But even if they do, Alito's nomination is something conservative Republicans will fight for. Bill Frist and his colleagues wouldn't hesitate to invoke the nuclear option, in a process not only guaranteeing Alito's ascension, but forever destroying the right of a Senate minority to filibuster. And Alito is as bad as it gets. Most Democrats on the Judiciary Committee have hammered away this week on Alito's extreme views of executive branch power. Some have inquired as to whether Alito still feels Roe v. Wade should be abolished. On any number of critical issues like this, Alito will be that essential fifth swing vote, meaning that his confirmation would in all likelihood usher in a new, reactionary Supreme Court era that could last a generation. The problems with Samuel Alito go far beyond abortion and the power of the executive branch. Alito has never met an expanded government power that he didn't approve of, and the same is true of his view of corporate power. Conversely, Alito has sought to limit the rights of ordinary people. And there's more, Alito's long membership in a Princeton alumni group that opposed the admission of women and minorities. And there's Alito's refusal as a federal judge to recuse himself from cases involving a company in which he'd invested hundreds of thousands of dollars, even though he promised to do so during his confirmation hearings. If he blew off his promise of recusal in a previous nomination hearing, why should anyone believe anything he's saying this week? The chances, at this point, that Alito can be stopped are slim, but an effort must be made. As with Clarence Thomas, getting close won't mean anything. Every Senate Democrat should be the target of emails, faxes, phone calls, letters, and office visits. The same goes for moderate Republicans, Lincoln Chafee, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins, Chuck Hagel, George Voinovich, James Jeffords, and Arlen Specter are 7 of the likeliest to vote no. The stakes in this vote are enormous. We've got to stop this guy. Do something. Samuel Alito's ascension would all but lock in decades of Supreme Court domination by the executive branch, corporations, and social conservatives. The Supreme Court is the highest level of the only branch of government not already wholly controlled by conservative Republicans. Don't let it go without a fight. From KBCS, for Pacifica Network, this is Geoff Parrish.